For anyone wanting to follow along with me this morning, I'm in Genesis chapter 1. The nice thing about the book of Genesis is we can all turn there confidently because it's the first book, so you don't have to be like, where does it come again? It's right away at the beginning. You'll really look like you know what you're doing this morning, so just open it with confidence. Genesis chapter 1. I'm going to pray and we're going to get going here. God, I praise you and I thank you for your sovereign word. I praise you and I thank you for what you speak, for what you said. God, will we hear from you this morning beyond English words? Will we hear right in our hearts, God? Beyond what my mouth says, will we hear from you? God, would you speak this morning in Jesus' name? Amen. Genesis chapter 1. It's going to be a sermon on a couple of verses, and which means that in theory it'll be short. Yes, I like the chuckles. That's good. I really feel the way this is going to go, and don't worry, this isn't a surprise to those in the band, but we're going to allow for some time when we're finished to just pray and worship again, more informed, should we say. Call it a response time. I figured it was appropriate for two reasons, because when I was reading this text and going through it, I thought this is something you can't just take and go. This isn't a fast food kind of thing. This is something we got to sit and process. So just so you're aware ahead of time, you know, oh, we're going to sit here afterwards. You know, I believe in that. The other reason is that it's a regular occurrence in our Wednesday night youth ministry to have a response time. So in keeping with the theme of the morning, it made sense too. So just a heads up. If you're in Genesis 1 already, if you're not, it isn't the first page. It's just past all of those things, you know, the table of contents and stuff. Just keep going. You'll see it. It's not too far. We're reading here about creation. We're starting with creation. When everything was starting, in the beginning, it says the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Without wanting to sound too repetitive, because anyone who's heard me speak, I've used this. I feel like I'm riding a horse that's almost dead, because I've said this many times, but it's still true and it still gets me excited. But if you've heard it, you're going to be like, oh, get off it already. But the Spirit of God is hovering over the waters, over the dark, over the deep. I love that. The Spirit of God is hovering. And I studied that word. I love that word. Granted, it wasn't my idea to study the word. I'll give credit to Andy Kerr is one that said, you know, that word means a whole lot more. I said, okay, I'll look into it. It does. It means a whole lot more. It's amazing. When I used to read that, and when we read it now, we think that the Spirit of God is just waiting. This hovering doesn't grasp the magnitude of this word. The Spirit of God was anticipating, was in active waiting. It wasn't a passive, like, come on. It wasn't impatient. It was, I want to love, I want to create, I want to do what I want to do. The Spirit of God was vibrating with intensity to pour upon the creation that was about to happen. The Spirit of God was hovering. And this waiting of the Spirit, this waiting that the Spirit of God was doing, was an energized anticipation. The Spirit of God was waiting for something, wanting with every bit of energy it could muster to create and to love His creation. The Spirit of God. In the creation account, we read of this existence with the Spirit. And the Spirit waits. What's He waiting for? The Spirit is waiting for the Father's command. Your bulletins tell you, and I'll reiterate it now, the message title this morning is, And God Said. Because that's exciting. Whenever I read through the Genesis account, I have to pause at, And God Said. The Spirit of God hovers. It waits in anticipation. It waits. If you can imagine the Spirit of God waiting for the Father's command, I want to love God. I want to love Father. I want to love. Jesus is there in that moment too. John tells us that Jesus is the word that God speaks. And they're sitting there in that moment and the Spirit is ready. Jesus is waiting to be spoken and the Father is waiting to speak. There's this moment right before it all begins where the Spirit of God hovers over the darkness, over the emptiness, over the void, the formless void that Genesis talks about. The Spirit of God is there. And God said. And God said, with the Father's words, let there be, the Spirit of God was released to do the act of creating. With the Father's words, let there be, the Word being Jesus, let there be, the Spirit of God was released. You're not getting it. You're allowed to get excited. I don't want to be the only one that's excited about the Spirit of God. I give you permission. Jesus was the spoken word which granted the Spirit permission to act. When we see the Trinity in action like this, I preached a sermon about the Trinity in creation in a different church. Don't worry. So it's not like you're like, oh, did I miss that one? Don't worry. And God shows us a beautiful picture of how the Trinity functions. And you've got the Father and the Spirit and the Word, the Son, all together there. The Son is spoken. The Word is spoken. The Spirit is released. And we see this picture of true, beautiful relationship between the Trinity, between the three that are one. We see this beautiful relationship, the Son and the Spirit, each in submission, which, by the way, is not a weakness, in submission to the Father. Both sustaining and controlling the fullness of their power under the submission to the Father, and the Father speaks, let there be, and the Spirit of God is released. Let there be. The Spirit being fully God and the Word being fully God, each submitted themselves to the Father. They acted in their power to submit. I'm going to read it again. Read it instead of just say it. Verse 2, he says, now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. God will say again and again, let there be, and it will be. This isn't a message actually about creation. This is a message about God speaking. This is a message about God said. What happens when God speaks? We are a generation of Christians who are not used to listening to God speak. We are a generation of believers who have lost the art of listening to God speak. And God said, let there be, and it was so. Light was formed when God spoke. Water was formed when God spoke. Sky and land were formed when God spoke. When God speaks, things happen. When God speaks, truth is proclaimed. When God speaks, everything we think is a problem disappears. I want to deal with the issue of what happens when God speaks. I don't think we've ever stopped to consider that. Maybe you have, and maybe you're getting excited with me this morning. But in the creation account, and God said, I read it over and over again, and the more I read the creation account, you know what sticks out to me is not the timing that everyone is so obsessed with, but the fact that God spoke. That's power. That is the power of our God. When He speaks. speaks, all of matter must obey, comes into action, falls under the authority, responds to its creator. And God said, when God speaks, there's three things. When God speaks, he has something to say. When I look at the times in Scripture when God speaks, do you notice that he doesn't just talk? You don't find God just rambling on and on and on and on and on. When he speaks, he has something to say. Sometimes it's specific, right to the person. Sometimes it's rebuke. Sometimes it's judgment. Sometimes he comes in and says, you. When we see those moments of judgment, it's after times of grace when he's allowed for people to figure it out. And then he comes and sometimes he's talking to his own people. Oftentimes he talks to his prophets. When God talks to his prophets, he isn't nice. I don't know if you've read some of how he speaks to his prophets. Be like, you know, get up and get out of here. Quit just sitting around and moping. Prophets who get overwhelmed with life. And God comes in and says, look, you need to understand something here. We don't see that. We focus on the other side of it. We focus on the message that is given from the prophet to the people. But when God speaks, he has something to say. It's not because he is shy or afraid that he often stays silent. It is out of that perfect and beautiful wisdom that only God can truly encompass that he chooses to stop talking once in a while. A lesson too many people need to learn. God doesn't speak sometimes because it isn't necessary. He doesn't have anything to say in that moment. When God speaks, it's oftentimes, there's so much occurrence when he speaks in our lives is because we aren't listening to just the presence of him there. Can I tell you something that you need to grasp for a moment? When God is in the room, he doesn't need to say anything. We as creation respond to that. We've already seen it this morning. I hate to share something that you should already know, but don't worry if you don't. God is in the room. And when we get in the room where God is in, we don't need to have him say anything. We think we do because society is all about tell me. I want to hear it. Show me. I need something to grasp more of my senses. We've lost the ability to come into the house of God and just sit and wait. I was challenged by a speaker one time at college to just sit and wait. I sat for 3 or 4 hours. And I felt God say, okay, you're good. So I left. And then I realized what I had done. He said, you can leave. But he didn't want me to. He gave me the permission. And it was a very interesting moment for me. I thought, wow. I should have chosen to stay. I had nothing else to do. I just didn't like sitting. To sit in the presence of God. He speaks for a reason. His words are just filled with authority when God speaks. The second thing is when God speaks, his words are accomplished. What he says is accomplished. He doesn't just say stuff. His words are not empty. If God says, let there be, it will be. He doesn't just speak. Isaiah 55:11 talks about his word will not return void. Talks about how his word will accomplish what he sends it to accomplish. In the exact context of that verse, he says, just like the rain and the dew settle on creation and water the ground and water the plants and do not return without first going through and watering life, just in the same way, he says, my words do not go out and not accomplish something and not achieve something. My words do not return void. God says, when I speak, it doesn't return void. His words are accomplished. In Genesis, when God speaks, the world is created. Look through the scriptures and begin to look at the times when God speaks. When God speaks, You really want to get something, because we overlook this sometimes. And read Jesus' accounts when Jesus speaks. That's still God speaking. Now the Word become flesh, the very Word of God itself, incarnate, is speaking. That's got to be powerful. Read the things Jesus says when God speaks. When God, I just was reminded of that story when Jesus gets in the boat and rebukes the wind and the waves. That's Jesus. When God speaks. And third, and this part gets me excited. So, sorry. When God speaks, His Spirit is released. When God speaks, His Spirit is released. God showed me a picture this past week. No, 2 weeks ago. We had a conference here. WAPS Naguadam was hosting it in this building. So for a pastor like me who's involved in both churches, I was literally being two people at the same time. It was very stretching and exhausting. Sometimes I was asked, anyway, answering questions about both churches. You know, where's this? Well, the bathroom's over there. When do you guys meet? Well, anyway, so. And God showed me a picture. We were sitting there. Our guest speaker, her spiritual gift is prophetic. The words, prophetic words. Powerful. Powerful. She began to prophesy over this region. And I've told you this before, and it resonated with everything that God's been showing me. That the Spirit of God is ready to do something. I know we say that a lot. Maybe we don't say it enough. But the Spirit of God is ready to do something in this city, in this region. God showed me the picture. He reminded me of Genesis 1. He said, my Spirit is hovering over your community. My Spirit is hovering over your area, over the region that you are in. He was talking right to me. He said, my Spirit is hovering. Church, He spoke this. It was for me. And then He said, now share it. He says, my Spirit is hovering over your ministries, over the places I've called you. My Spirit is hovering over those churches that you have influence in, over those lives that you have influence over. I said, God, that's amazing. He said, my Spirit is hovering. And He began to show me. When He showed me what that hovering meant, I got excited because He's hovering over us. And at the speaking of the Word of God, the Spirit is released. The Spirit of God in submission to the Father only acts at the Father's release. I feel like I have to pause there for a second because we get the wrong idea about submission and we misunderstand what I'm saying here, that is the most powerful thing anybody can do. It takes willpower to submit. The Spirit of God willingly submits. He says, Father, yeah. Because He loves the Father. The Son, they love the Father. Father loves the Son. Do you understand that? You're getting a bit of it's really hard to really grasp the Trinity. We can't understand three in one. We can't get there in our full understanding. Our brains don't let us get there all the way. But if you can just run with me on this one, the Spirit and the Son, the Spirit of God is saying, Father, I'm submitted to you. I want to love them, but I'm submitted to you. And at the speaking of the Word of God, when God speaks, the Spirit of God especially responds to the Father's voice. Oh, I love that. The Spirit of God especially responds to the Father's voice. This morning, then, I feel like God needs to make this applicable to us. I already started on that. It is true. What I've said, when God speaks, it's true. Creation responds to the sound of the voice of its creator. Many of us don't know what it means to hear the word of the Lord. We are looking for this audible voice. We are looking for something. We are looking for what we expect. We create an idea in our heads of what it's like. Even if we don't look for an audible voice, we've created an idea of what it's like. But we don't know what it means to hear the word of the Lord. Sometimes it's a whisper. Elijah experienced that in the mountain. Pushed into the corner of the rock, and it says that there was a great wind, and it tore the mountain, and rocks began to fall, and then there was an earthquake, and there was a fire, and every time it says God was not in the fire, God was not in the earthquake, God was not in the wind, it says, and after all of those great magnificent things happen, a still small voice speaks. Sometimes it comes as a whisper. Sometimes it comes through someone else. That's what the gifts of the Spirit are so beautiful for. That's why God gave them. That's why not any one of us has the same gift. You know, we don't have all of the gifts. You know, we don't all have all of them. Because that would be messy and it wouldn't work. We go and we try to prophesy over you and you. No, that's not what the Spirit of God is telling me. There's a reason why God gives us gifts differently. He distributes them. It says, as we are able to handle them, as we have faith, He distributes the gifts to us so that as a community, as a body together, the Word of God speaks sometimes through people. Can I challenge you with this idea that the Word of God speaks sometimes through your kids? Some of you parents don't have to think too hard about that. Kids got it. They haven't become cynical yet, so they got it. They're like, yeah, this doesn't add up. You adults are weird. I know when I was in kindergarten, I used to evangelize to my fellow students. And they'd stuff me in the play oven. I was small once, okay? Most of the times when we listen to the Word of God, when we hear the voice of God speak, you know what? Most of the times it comes through this book. The beauty of how God has worked, even though there's all kinds of debate about which translation is the best, the beauty about how God has worked is He is able, just so you know, to work through it. Oh, you got to read the King James if you're going to hear from the Lord. Oh, you got to read the NIV because it's most understandable. Oh, you got to read the ESV because it's literal and it really gets the Greek. Newsflash. God's bigger than that. He spoke it. And better still, He created us. So if we are His created beings and we open His word, even if the translation isn't perfect, when we begin to read it, something in our spirit says, that's God. He's speaking to me. That's God. Can I remind you? Can I challenge you? Can I encourage you? Open the book once in a while. Open it up once in a while. Maybe, just maybe, you can't stand holding a book. Then get the app. It's free. Open it up. Read that word. Get it inside of you. Get used to reading it. Get used to hearing what He says. Do you understand that when you know this book, when a person comes to you and says, this is what God is speaking over your life, if you know the Word of God, even a little bit, you go, that doesn't sound right. That doesn't sound like God. That doesn't sound like the God I got to know through that book He gave me. That doesn't sound like the God I'm in relationship with. That doesn't sound like Him. When the Word speaks, we need to hear it speak to us. God is so faithful. I'm going to call the music ministry team to come back. I'll go back there in a second. Got to multitask this morning. Church, I want us to take some time. We're going to worship again. I hope that doesn't make you moan. If it does, keep it to yourself. We're going to worship. I believe in the power of us choosing to acknowledge our Savior and our King. I want us to begin to listen this morning. This isn't going to be an altar call. It's going to be a response. I'm going to open the sanctuary wide. You know what? If you really got to go to the bathroom, then I'm going to open the building wide and let the Spirit of God speak to you. I believe in this. I believe in God our Father. I believe. I know He's here. I know He loves you. I know He loves me. I know that. It's not a belief even. It's something I know. Get to that point in your relationship with God, and it's very hard to stop you. I just know. Before I debate anything, before I get into any discussion, before I say this is why I'm right, it's not a I know. Some things I can't argue with people. I don't know why, I just know He is here, He is in this place, and He loves you more than anything. I don't know why He loves you, but He loves you, because He does. This morning, as I've said in my youth on Wednesday nights and on various occasions, I've said maybe what you need to hear the Father saying is those simple words that we forget He says, I love you. Maybe what we need to hear our dad saying to us this morning is, I love you, you are mine, I've chosen you, you are mine. Maybe we need to have that spoken into our lives. Maybe we need to have that encouragement come to us from our Father, I love you. I chose you because I love you. I created you. Begin to dwell in the reality of what that means. We are created. Sorry, guys, I take a little longer than I expect. We begin to get into that place. I want you to hear this morning. We're going to begin to sing here in a second. And I want you to hear. I want you to listen. Maybe you got to sing first to get your ears open, but I want you to get to the place where you can begin to hear. I want you to open up and say, God, I dare you to pray it. God, speak to me. I dare you to pray it, because watch out. God, speak to me. Watch what happens. I want this to be a real applicable message. Word of God, speak. One last thing, sorry. I'm going to talk about a song. You don't have to sing it. Don't worry. I didn't prepare you for that. There's a song Mercy Me sings that says, I'm finding myself at a loss for words. And the funny thing is, it's okay. The last thing I need is to be heard, but to hear what you would say. And the chorus says, Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty? We're going to sing a different song, but I want that to be the truth. When the Word of God speaks, sometimes we find ourselves at a loss for words. It's probably a good thing. Because He probably needs us just to listen for a moment. I'm going to pray and transition into this. God, speak to us this morning. Like, more. Speak to us more. God, I want to invite you to keep knocking. Maybe knock a little harder. Maybe get open because we're not listening or something. God, begin to pursue and chase after us. God, I want there to be something happen in this place tonight. Your Spirit is hovering over Terrace Pentecostal Assembly. Your Spirit is hovering over this sanctuary this morning. Your Spirit is hovering over these people that happen to have showed up here this morning. Jesus, speak. And would we listen? You're so good, and we love you. We love you, God. Amen.